Welcome to episode 2 of And the Truth Be Told podcast. In this episode, we talk about the pros and cons of dentistry. I hope you enjoy listening to this fantastic episode. All right, Lindsay, so let's get into... So we talked a lot about like how you transitioned from medicine to dentistry and how that was. So let's talk about the pros and cons of dentistry. So what do you think those are?
So I always start with the bad news first. So let's talk about the cons.
Okay.
And then we'll end on a high note. So I think a lot of the cons of dentistry is really the perspective or people think about dentistry. And I touched on this a couple minutes ago in terms of like, you know, like, and I'll give an example about myself about how when I was still thinking about medicine or going down that path, I didn't give dentists enough credit, and I didn't think that they were smart because they weren't medical students at one point. And so I think that that's a big, not really a con, but just like a thing that dentists have working against them. And a stronger example of that is actually what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks in one of our emergency medicine courses is this whole there's this whole topic, and it's like pre-med prophylaxis. So basically, the idea is that if somebody has had a joint replacement by an orthopedic surgeon, then they were originally told back in the day, really a couple years ago, that they should be taking an antibiotic whenever they go get dental work done in order to kind of counteract any sort of bacteremia that would form. So like in simpler terms, if you're not a dental student, mm-hmm. that really means that whenever somebody is working on your teeth, sometimes there's blood that comes up, which is totally normal. You're just, you know, kind of perforating gingiva there. So that's not a big deal. But if you have an artificial prosthesis somewhere in your body or an artificial joint, then the bacteria from your mouth, because you have a lot of bacteria in your mouth, can then go through the capillaries that are in your gums, travel through your bloodstream, and then just kind of like adhere to that joint.
Oh, wow.
And that can cause an infection. Yeah. So a lot of physicians tell their patients that they will write them an antibiotic whenever they go to the dentist. And but really, like, the ADA guidelines, or like the guidelines that dentists follow, say that that has been changed a lot now because there's no real evidence showing that you need to take pre-med. But, you know, then you have the struggle of like, okay, if you're the patient, do you listen to the dentist or do you listen to the doctor? So we now just defer to, okay, well, you know what, if you, the patient, think that you need to take pre-med, then
pre-med?
Sorry, it's the pre-medication prophylaxis okay. antibiotic. Yeah, sorry. That's just what, yeah. but if you, the patient, feels like you need to take that antibiotic, and if you feel very strongly about it because you've been taking it for years before your dental appointments, then we will tell you to get a prescription by an orthopedic surgeon because we're not going to write it for you. So it's still like that kind of struggle stuff about like, I feel like a lot of it is either physicians don't realize that we know stuff too, or they think that they know better, mm-hmm. you know? And I think a lot of that is just how dentistry and medicine have separated themselves the past couple of years, which a lot of that was dentistry's doing because we wanted to be seen as we know something too and like we're our own entity. Mm. But so now kind of to counteract that, we're doing a lot of interprofessionalism education.
Yeah.
So like we're practicing that at UNC right now where we have a whole group. And it's made up of dentistry students and pharmacy students and nursing students and medical students. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like getting together and having a better understanding of what each person knows and does so that whenever you go into like the real world of practicing medicine or any of those healthcare options, that you know that you can trust the doctor or the dentist or the nursing or farm student that you're talking to,
okay.
you know? So I think that's one of the big things that dentistry has working against them is people, like, quote-unquote, taking us seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, because we actually do know stuff. Right. We go through a lot of classes to know stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of dentists do, like, feel isolated. They're by mm-hmm. their own practice. Mm-hmm. And when you compare, like, pharmacy or, like, doctors, they're all in the hospital, like, where everyone else is. So
right.
I can see that aspect there.
Right. No, yeah, for sure. And then going off of, you know, just, like, like both physically and I guess like psychologically kind of being isolated. We were also talking about the saturation of dentists and like the corporate dentistry sort of thing. And I definitely feel like in North Carolina, that's becoming more of an issue too. Like I can't speak to other states because I'm just not there in my dental career yet in terms of like thinking after dental school.
Right.
I'll be there like third and fourth year, but right now I'm just like trying to learn how to work on people. But yeah, but I think that that's it's definitely becoming more competitive in dentistry. And I saw this when I was a treatment coordinator and just like the marketing that dental offices have to do in order to get patients.
Right.
Because a lot of dentists work off of referrals. So I think that that's also one of the things to consider whenever you are thinking about going into dentistry is can you talk to people and can you also talk to your colleagues?
Right.
Because you're gonna have to do both, obviously. But then in terms of talking to colleagues, like you need to be able to clearly speak to people about cases, but also kind of appeal to people so that they'll refer their patients to you.
Right.
Yeah. So, and you know, people are graduating with a lot higher debt. UNC, since we're a public university, it's a lot lower than if you were to go to like a northern private school.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I take out a lot of student loans every year. I think I take out 80,000 or something like that, which is very steep.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I look at it is that, you know what, like it's going to be an investment and every dentist that I've talked to has been able to pay it off.
Okay.
You might not be able to like have a yacht in your first year of actually practicing, but you will pay it off. And yeah, so I think that that's one of like the, and also one of those draws that kind of lean me towards dentistry is like knowing that the sacrifice that I'm putting in now, both like studying and taking dent and that kind of stuff, will be paid off in a couple of years. And then after that, my life is going to be just like so awesome, you know, because you're going to be debt free. You're going to be doing your own practice and, you know, like working with your own patients sort of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So could you go talk a bit about like when you talk to dentists who say they were able to pay it off, like what was the process? I want to know what the end goal is. So what happens after you're done with dental school? Like, do you go and open up your own practice as a startup, or do you go and work with a dentist as an associate, or do you, what's the process? Because I feel like a lot of students, like for me as a pre-dental student, I know right now my goal is to get into dental school, but like, what is the end
like
goal?
Like afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there are definitely people that do any of those options. You're not limited. So unlike medical school, the day that you are done with dental school, as long as you've passed your board exams and you're licensed, you can start working on patients. You could open up your own practice. A lot of people don't open up their own practice because that would mean that they would have to be taking out millions of dollars, like a couple million. And then that's going to be also on top of the debt that you're taking out anyways for school.
Right.
So at least that's not one of the things that I would feel comfortable with. I can't speak as to, like, everybody because there are definitely people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they go and they, like, they have some just, like, a great mind for business and they can be successful. But I've also known people that have crashed and they are now buried in debt because they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, like, one of the things, too, is that whenever you graduate school, you, like, you know how to do fillings and you know how to theoretically do root canals and that kind of stuff. But you haven't seen, like, a whole lot of patients, you know? I mean, you have, like, different criteria. And so, like, you're competent as a dentist. You're not going to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you, like, you haven't seen all the different cases that are out there to be seen. So that's why a lot of people will go into an associateship or they'll go into, like, a corporate dentistry sort of thing is to both, like, be covered by other dentists who maybe they don't feel comfortable handling a case. They can hand it off to a colleague that is in the office with them right there. And so they don't feel, like, trapped. And also, like, you have a steady salary. You don't have to, if you're going to corporate dentistry, you don't have to worry about marketing or about referring. Like, it's all done for you.
Yeah.
You just go, and you don't have to worry about overhead or how much money you're making off of certain cases to pay your salary.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and you practice dentistry and then you leave, you know? But you kind of give up a lot of stuff for that, too. You give up hiring your own staff and doing your marketing and any sort of, like, independence that you would want to do. So they both definitely have pros and cons. I think it's just what you're more comfortable doing with. And just because you go into corporate dentistry doesn't mean that 5 years down the road, you can't open up your own practice. So probably what I would do, and I think what a lot of dental students do, is graduate dental school, decide if you want to go into a residency to specialize or not, or to go into like a general dentistry residency, mm-hmm. Just to see more cases and learn more stuff.
And that's about a year long.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a year. Yeah, so residencies vary from 1 year to 7 years. So one is going to be like your general dentist. Seven is going to be your oral surgeons. Mm-hmm. Pediatrics is like three. Endo, I think, is three or four. Okay. So they all kind of, they all vary. And they also vary in terms of like what institute you're going to. So I think a lot of people, and probably what I'm going to do is graduate from school, decide if I want to do a residency or not, and then probably go into like an associateship. So that would mean pairing with a dentist that is already established, mm-hmm. and it's usually an older dentist, okay. Who has patients and who has like kind of like claimed his or her territory in terms of patients. And then the idea is that you develop a good relationship with that dentist and you show him or her that you are competent and that you can work with patients and like, and that sort of stuff. And then you'll buy into the practice. And so then you kind of form a partnership sort of thing. And then like the ultimate goal, or at least like what I've been told, is that that dentist who originally owned the practice, mm-hmm. would then sell it to you. So now it becomes your practice.
Right.
So yeah. And I think that, you know, like I can't speak for a lot of practices, but I think that's kind of generally how dentistry is done. It's just like you've inherited the practice, mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Okay.
So yeah.
And
yeah.
Also there's the academia route too. A lot of dentists,
mm-hmm. yeah.
graduate and then they do PhDs and stay in teaching. So yeah, it's just whatever options is best for that individual in that mm-hmm. space. Okay.
Yeah. And at dental schools, there is definitely like a lot of room for you to explore all those options. Like we have research opportunities. I'm not big into research. Mm-hmm. So that's probably not the route that I'm going to do. But you can also teach. Yeah. Or you could do research. Or you could do like Dentists Without Borders sort of stuff and like just be like a traveling. Or you could also do military. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're limited to just working in a dental office for the rest of your life.
Okay.
There are definitely a lot of things that you can do.
Perfect.
So then one of the other, I guess, cons about dentistry, and this is a big one, and we're taught this from day one in order to kind of like deter us from doing this down the road, is ergonomics. And so basically, if you're not a dental student, that means like the way in which you hold your posture. Mm-hmm. So generally, whenever you are first learning how to work on your mannequin in sim lab, or like that fake person that you have come out of like the side of your desk and like you screw the teeth and whatever, a lot of patients have the tendency to just kind of like hunch over and lean over the entire person. But if you do that, like your neck and back muscles are just so strained, and that's just not a good thing. So we're taught, you know, like put 2 feet on the floor and hold your posture up and that kind of stuff. But some people don't do that whenever they've, you know, been practicing dentistry for a couple of years. And also like some older dentists don't do that either, just because like their posture is just weaker in general from age. And so that's one of the big cons in dentistry is like the physical pain that you have, both from the ergonomics, but also in terms of like working with your hands all day.
So
a lot of us, I mean, I don't, but a lot of dental students or dentists will get like deep massages, or they'll have special chairs made for them. Some people practice dentistry standing up, mm-hmm. So then you can't lean over the person.
Yeah, one dentist I shadowed did exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that, I really like that idea, because at least the chairs for me up in lab are not like, they're not good for my like longer torso, shorter legs. And so, like, I'm always leaning over just to be able to see. Yeah. So so one of our professors was like, you might want to look into stand-up dentistry. And I was like, oh, I like that idea. but there are definitely a lot of things that corporations have to kind of help dentists with that. So, so like, one of the things in terms of your hands, if you have thinner thinner tools or like thinner hand pieces that don't have a lot of grooves, then your muscles have to tense up, like your fingers have to tense up a lot more to be able to wrap and hold on to that instrument. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things in terms of like making wider tools for people or making them like rigid, right. That kind of stuff. And there are operatory setups that you can have that are like the best design for ergonomics. So I don't really think that that's like a big con in terms of dentistry, because that definitely can be overcome. So I think it's really important that you need to be aware that dentistry is a physically demanding job and kind of know that before you start practicing and while you're applying to dental schools.
Okay. And it's just important to know that in dental school, they will teach you how to like mm-hmm. deal with all this posture issues and what not to do. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's physically demanding, but there's also precautions set in place mm-hmm. for to be overcome with it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Any other bad news you have for us before the good news comes?
I can't really think of anything. So just to kind of summarize, we talked about the cost of dentistry, the saturation of dentists and like the corporate world, the physical pain, and the high debt. Okay. So those are a lot of cons, but there's also good news about dentistry. So like we talked about earlier, and one of the big reasons that I chose dentistry was the ability to have your own independence. Mm-hmm. And that's in terms of having your own business, hiring your own staff, hiring your own hygienist, making the calls about what you want the office to look like, setting your own hours. Like if you own your practice or if you work in partnership with somebody, then you get to make those calls. And, you know, like I, at least the physicians that I've talked to, they don't necessarily have that freedom. They are controlled by the corporate world, or they're controlled by insurance or like the rules of the hospital, mm-hmm. you know. But I think that if you are one of those people where you're interested in business or you want to kind of do your own thing because you like that and you like that independence and freedom, then I think that dentistry is one of the few fields or one of the few like healthcare fields where you can actually do that.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, like if you're not comfortable with the business side of things, mm-hmm. there are definitely programs where you can earn your business degree on the side. And throughout dental school, we have a few courses where you learn how to handle people and you learn how to handle money and like the business aspect of everything. Sure. So if you think that you might be interested in it, mm-hmm. I would recommend asking your dentist what they think of it, or asking the person that you're shadowing, because that'll give you kind of like a first person view of it, but then also seeing if the schools that you're applying to have some sort of business program that you could enroll in, or even courses taught throughout dental school. So yeah, that's one of the big ones. We just talked about the time freedom. I think also having the ability to always try new things. So we were told this, I think it was last week or the week before or something, when we were learning how to do anesthesia on one another, or like stab lab. There were some people in our class that were watching YouTube videos like minutes before actually injecting their classmate. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people that I was like, oh my gosh, you cannot be watching that video right in front of me because it's making me so nervous. And so, I mean, but that's, you know, I'm not going to say that's how dentistry is sometimes, but you always having the ability to learn something in one of your continuing education courses or your CE classes that you have to take every year, and then actually being able to try that on patients, you know? So, like, say there's some new implant tool that you really wanted to try, or you want to try 3D printing. You can learn how to do that, and then you can actually, like, implement it into your practice.
Okay.
Whereas sometimes with medicine, like, you can't do that. You're, like, you have a routine, and this is what you stick to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing.
You're a lifelong learner.
You definitely are, yeah. And I think that's also one of the things to consider if you want to go into this field, is that you will have to go to continuing education courses every year. And you have to stay up to date on medicine and dentistry, because it is always changing. But if you really like trying new things, then I think this is a really great career for you to do or to pursue. And then we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, and one of the big reasons that I wanted to go into dentistry was the ability to instantly improve somebody's confidence And not only confidence, but take that person out of pain or make them feel better about themselves. So I remember when I was shadowing, there was somebody that came in who had all of the anterior teeth or all of the, you know, the teeth right in the front on his top jaw were degraded, and they were just like they were rotting out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't smile because he would show his teeth.
Yeah.
He just wasn't confident. And so the person that I shadowed was like, okay, well, here's going to be our big treatment plan. Number one, we're going to have to remove any sort of infection or bacteria that's in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And then we'll address the aesthetic side of things because we need a good foundation. Because we don't have that, then there's no point in putting veneers or implants or whatever because they're just going to rot and fall out. So seeing that process that went on for a couple of months and, like, the final end product, and he was just so confident and he wasn't in pain anymore and he was starting to go out on dates and, like, he had job interviews lined up. Like, it was just that, like, that – oh, I have goosebumps now. It was just, like, that, like, awe feeling of you actually changed this person's life. And there's a physical and a psychological improvement that you can see and that you are responsible for.
Right.
You know? And like, that was all you. Like, you get credit for it. Right. You did that.
With your own hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With your own hands. Like, it wasn't, you used instruments, but it wasn't, like, a machine that did that. Like, you were the one physically doing everything. So, yeah. So I think that that's one of the big draws towards dentistry is being able to take somebody out of any sort of pain that they might be in and improving their life in ways that they are going to know for years down the road.
What other pros do you have for us?
So one of the pros, I think, would be if you're just going to look at dentistry versus medicine, I think that, and I didn't know this until my little sister was applying for medical schools, is that medical school is 4 years, but then you have to do residency after that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas dentistry is 4 years. You don't have to do residency.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at it, go ahead.
I mean, also like with dentistry, from what I hear, a lot of students go into associateship for mm-hmm. 2-3 years, and then they come back and do a residency. So mm-hmm. there's that flexibility there.
There is, yeah. Yeah, there definitely is. And you can kind of dictate, with dentistry, you can kind of dictate, like, your own timeline, mm-hmm. whereas I feel like with medicine, you're on like the guidelines
yeah.
timeline or something,
right, right,
you know?
Yeah.
So if you are, you know, if you're one of those people where it's like, okay, like I'm a little bit older, I want to start practicing, then medicine is, I'm not putting down medicine at all,
mm-hmm.
but I think that dentistry definitely has more flexibility.
Okay.
And, you know, with dentistry, there's the whole, like, you get to have a life after you're done with practice. You don't, a lot of times, like, you don't have to go on call because a lot of dental emergencies can wait until the next morning when your practice is open.
Mm-hmm.
But with medicine, like, you're on call.
Okay.
And you have to spend your time in the hospital.
Right.
And you're put on rotations. And like, we were talking with dentists having a lot of physical pain. Well, so do medical professionals, too, because they're hunched over as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just... And dentistry is really challenging because you're learning a lot of knowledge, but you're also having to learn hand skills.
Yeah.
I don't know how much there is in terms of hand skill involvement with medicine, but if you're one of those people where it's like, I like science and I like art,
mm-hmm.
then dentistry is kind of your thing.
Yeah.
So, I think.
I mean, since it's an art, it's also very subjective to the pupil. So that's
yes.
also something to consider. Like, it is demanding, the procedures. Some of them are very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the patients happy with what you have done is something to think about as well.
Yes. Yeah. If you're a really good people person and you're persuasive and you're empathetic, then I think dentistry is awesome. If you're not, then you're going to have to learn those skills.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to learn them with medical school anyways,
right.
too.
I mean, with any career path.
Right.
Just growing up, you need to learn those
right.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. Dentistry is definitely, it's an art. So especially when you're fixing somebody's two front teeth, like there is even painting involved and like putting on fake staining, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like you have to really be paying attention to like the physical procedure that you're doing, but also to the aesthetics part of it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up why dentistry and that whole idea that you guys wanted to learn about and hear about today. So if you have any more questions, please feel free to reach out to me. You can go to andtoothbetold.com, and there are contact forms pretty much on every single page. I do read y'all's emails. It might take me about a week to get back to you, just in terms of like if we have classes or tests or whatever that week. But I promise you, I do read them. You can also, if you want to learn about what dental life or my life is like on the daily basis, you can follow me on Instagram. It's just Lindsay Lazarczyk, and it'll come up. So I'll spell it for you because the last name is kind of tricky. So it's Lindsey, little underscore, Lazarczyk. And if you go to the blog's homepage, there's a little icon that you can just press, and it'll take you right over to Instagram. So yeah, please like keep coming with all those questions and comments and encouragement. I love all that stuff. And I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. All right. Our episode one of season two, episode one is done. All right, thanks, guys.